Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Michael Hudson of Hannon Metals. Michael is a director, a CEO, and chairman of Hannon Metals. It's a company I've picked up earlier this year, actually real early this year, because my friend from 321 Gold, Bob Moriarty, picked this company as his top pick for the year. And I said, well, Bob's a pretty smart guy. I better take a look at it. And I'm really glad I did, because we've already done very well with the stock in my newsletter. And so I'm really happy to have Michael with me, because they have, I think Hannon has a project that is, you really want to keep your eyes on. So it has a great deal of potential. That's why I'm really happy that Michael could join me today. Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure to be back.
I'm really glad to have you here with us. When we look at the project, your project is in Peru, and you're sort of landlocked in Australia right now. How are things going there with your project? San Martin project. It's a copper silver sedimentary hosted project that it's absolutely enormous. The target is huge. But have you been able to get some work done in spite of COVID-19, Michael?
Jay, simple answer is not a lot on the ground, but a lot from a remote point of view, I suppose, is the reality. We do have people on the ground, but they're local people working from a social licensing point of view. So what has been happening in Peru is terrible. I think it's up there in the top four in terms of cases. It spread from Lima, which has reasonable medical care, out into the regions many months ago, which have less support. And then we're very fortunate. I'm sitting here in Australia, where we can literally pay people not to work, but people in Peru don't have that benefit. So they need to get out there in society and earn a daily wage to keep their family fed, essentially. So it's very hard for them to contain it like it has been elsewhere. So the outcomes have been very, very bad. And San Martin, which is the project name we're working in, it's also named after the department or the province in which we're working, is still in lockdown. There's six or seven provinces in lockdown in Peru. They've opened up some of the country. But the reality is that most people are not working in Peru. There may be a few exceptions, but there's a whole lot of risks for staff. There's a whole lot of risks for local people. And then there's a whole lot of reasons that local people, wherever they are, whether it's here in Australia or in the jungles of Peru, don't want foreigners, essentially people from outside the area, coming in, because there's that fear. So no, we haven't done anything on the ground since March, but we've been working very hard, and there's been a regular news flow. So we had a lot of work done at the start of this year. So that took us many months past March, up until only a couple of months ago we were having samples returned. And then we've been able to do a lot of work remotely in terms of satellite interpretation and really sitting down and pulling together some of the information and data that we've had. So the project certainly advanced, but outside of the social work, which is critical, the most important part, we haven't had geologists there, but helping with medical supplies and food packs and all those things that are the most critical thing, really. I mean, geology can wait. This is a huge opportunity, and it's been there for hundreds of millions of years, essentially, and it's not going anywhere in this world. But the most important thing we can do is support the communities at the moment.
Right, and certainly curry some good favor, some good political favor, just by doing the right thing, by helping those people at this point in time. That's very good. And so, talk a little bit about what you've been able to discover remotely about your project. And maybe before you talk about that, talk about the size of the project. For people that don't know it, maybe there's a reason to be very excited about this project. Yeah, it's been not as active as you'd like it to be, but I'm very excited about your project. But tell our listeners that may not be familiar with it what the possibilities are for this San Martin project. And I look on your map and I see there are four areas, very extensive areas on this huge property, the San Martin property, where you've gathered up high-grade copper, silver, assays. And so I suppose those are some of your top targets, are they?
They are at the moment. It's as we've said, early days. So we're a first mover into this basin, and we secured tenure from late 2018 all through 2019, and really got on the ground at the end of 2019 and at the start of this year, 2020, started to pull the project and understanding to vast areas. As you've said, we've got tenure mining concessions over 120 kilometres, and the target. We've got this sediment hosted copper. Now, sediment hosted copper is the second most prolific form of copper mined in the world after porphyry coppers. So they form very large deposits. The Kupfer Schiefer in Poland or the Central African Copper Belt are the key examples. And we've got another style here. It's slightly different, but it's the same model, and it extends over such large areas. We're seeing basically pancake levels of copper and silver, and there's quite a significant silver credit here. The Kupfer Schiefer in Poland is the world's largest single silver producer, even though it's a byproduct from the copper mines there.
Yeah.
So this is a copper silver play, and what your question was specifically, what have we been able to do remotely to narrow it down? So we've just got on the ground over the last 8 to 12 months essentially, and had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of samples, thousands of samples that we've been able to put in context geologically into that pancake layer, if you like, over such a vast area. But because it's it's jungle area, it's very hard work. You know, you're literally cutting your way. I mean, we've done the easy stuff along roads, and then we cut our way through the forest. So everything is sort of a bit jumbled and out of context as we're making the discoveries. But we've been able to come back with satellite data, and there's some amazing the resolution of satellite data available to civilians these days is quite incredible. So we've been able to map the geological formations from that satellite information and put all those samples in context and become predictive, importantly, where further mineralized samples have the potential to exist. So the project's in a much bigger framework. We've de-risked it a lot, and that's really essentially what we do as geologists, de-risks the projects, and hopefully some of them progress towards mines. And I mean, that's a long way down the path, but we've advanced the project significantly, I think, is the summary comment.
And so you say pancake-like. Are they flat-lying structures, as far as you know, at this stage?
Yeah, it's essentially flat-lying. It's dipping at about 30 degrees and for the most part, not flat as in horizontal. But it's an important point because these sediment-hosted systems are generally quite thin. In the Kupfer Schiefer in Poland, it averages around 3 meters thickness, but it continues over tens and tens of kilometers, and they do blow out to tens of meters thickness, but for the most part, they're quite thin. And so potential mineability is important in anything we look at, even at early stage exploration. And if we had vertical bodies, they'd be much, much harder to mine. In fact, almost impossible to mine economically. But having a shallowly dipping bodies makes them the mining techniques that we could use in those styles of bodies, and room and pillar is specifically the type that we'd use in a shallowly dipping body. It's much more economic. So, if this was all upright and vertical, it would be of much less of interest. So it's simple things like orientation count.
Sure. Oh, very important. And you can't get in there to work now, so obviously you're not going to be drilling anytime soon, I suppose. I mean, we're always looking for drill results on these early projects.
Absolutely. Our aim was to hopefully be drilling by the end of this year, right? We saw an 8-month process to permitting, and we were looking to just start that back in March, and that did not happen, the start of that permitting process, because everything else happened around the world very quickly at that period of time. So drilling is absolutely critical. Early drilling is very important to understand projects as well as giving good numbers and excitement to the market. And it is the, as we all call it, the truth detector. It's the true sampling methodology to determine what you have and put it into three dimensions. The good news is, I suppose, is that there's a whole lot of new laws and regulations being being talked about all around the world, and Peru is no different. So the new laws in Peru are specifically around reinvigorating the economy and promoting development post-COVID. And one of the big issues in Peru has always been, over the last number of years, the slowness of permitting. But they're talking about bringing in new ways to fast track essentially that process. So So what may have been, you know, a 8 to 12 month process will hopefully be a lot less as Peru, as amongst other countries, want to build out quickly post development here or post COVID and get things working. So hopefully, you know, when we can get back on the ground, and that's still a moving target, there'll be a backlog, no doubt. But the government is talking, and up to the Prime Minister level, about streamlining these permitting processes.
You know, I just, looking at a lot of your assays, people need to know that this is, you know, these are pretty spectacular assays. You know, I'm looking here at 2.7% copper, and these are surface samples, of course, so we want to see that third dimension, but 29 grams per ton silver, which is a nice nice silver credit, as you say. But I mean, this is not, I mean, there's higher grades of both of those metals as well in many samples. But just very extensive on surface, right? I mean, it's just mind-boggling in a way, because the potential is, we don't know yet, of course, until you really start to drill it. But it seems to me, Michael, that you've got a project that is so large here. I would think that there would likely be some big guys, some big companies that might have some interest in what you're doing down there. Am I out of line in suggesting that?
No, you're not, absolutely. And we have put it in our public disclosure that we are talking to a number of different parties, because the question is asked a lot, and it's no surprise. The new copper projects are hard to find. New copper basins are even harder to find. Mm-hmm. And we're in a frontier area that has seen very little work. We've benefited, and we've talked about it before, about the petroleum exploration of the 90s, that and that data has become freely available only very recently, and we believe we're the first group to pull that data apart. So it's given us a fast track to the geological understanding. But you know, there's a number of large copper companies around the world, and it's their job to know what's happening, and no doubt they've been knocking on our door, as they would and should. And that's what I used to do as a geologist in a big company, was to make sure I was up to date with what was happening around the world. And we're in discussion with a number of parties, and nothing else material has happened outside of that. Otherwise, we'd be obliged to put it in the public domain. But we have talked about that, and without wanting to trumpet up too much, it's something that happens quite a lot. But this, simply put, this is a target for the big major mining companies. Right. This is not small, and it has attracted a lot of interest.
Right. Of course, you're not thinking at all about being a producer. You're an exploration geologist and have a really good one with a great track record. And all I can say is, as a shareholder, I just hope you don't let it go too cheap if someone comes at you. You know, I mean, we've done very well. I don't know, 3-4 times our money, I suppose, since we told our subscribers about it. But I'm looking for something considerably larger. Maybe I'm being greedy, but it seems to me the potential is just enormous here, and it's very exciting. Our listeners need to know there's no such thing as a sure thing in this business. It's exploration. It's high risk, high return. And I think this has a chance for the high return part of that equation. So, Michael, anything else you'd like to add before we finish today?
We haven't stopped, basically, Jay. We've got our tenure, and a lot of it is being granted, and it's still being granted as we speak. So we've got over 50% of the applications granted now. So that's progressing. But our work has actually identified more opportunities in the area in which we're working, and so we're working behind the scenes. So there's the anticipation of more, and I can say that with confidence.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you, Michael, very much for sharing your time with us and bringing us up to date on your very exciting story there in Peru.